This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
But for every person who is not vaccinated, who needs then to go to the hospital because they've contracted COVID, who is drawing on the resources of our healthcare system, of our health insurance system, of taxpayer dollars.
You're costing me good money!
You said, should you change or cancel your plans? If your plans are to go to a 40 to 50 person New Year's Eve party with all the bells and whistles and everybody hugging and kissing and wishing each other a happy new year, I would strongly recommend that this year we do not do that.
No, ding, ding, but out of wedding ring.
He's warning against any hugging and kissing on New Year's Eve. So that's pretty serious stuff.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And if you can believe it, it's a Thursday once again.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. And Grace had a story in Police Blotter Facts Friday about a rogue squirrel who was on the loose attacking 18 people over a span of 2 days. And we were left wondering what happened to the squirrel. Grace wanted us to relate to you what happened to Rocky the Squirrel. A 65-year-old Buckley resident, Corinne Reynolds, decided to trap the squirrel. She's locally known as the Bird Lady. A mom of seven, she had been feeding the squirrel since the summer, but decided to act after getting bitten on the hand herself. See, this is, you don't feed the squirrels. Don't feed the wildlife. And she saw all the Facebook posts regarding the attack, so she decided to take matters into her own hands. So she trapped it. She snared the rogue rodent by putting out a cage in her garden filled with peanuts, Stripe's favorite snack. That's she had named the... Did Grace name this squirrel? Yeah, Grace named the squirrel. The squirrel's actual name is Stripe, not Rocky. Who knows?
Very fake news.
I tell you, that's some bad investigative reporting right there. The senior then handed him over to the RSPCA, which, sorry, Stripe, euthanized. Gone. A beautiful squirrel. A talented squirrel. The squirrel died. Died. The squirrel died. Oh, she said, I know people don't like gray squirrels, but they are all God's creatures to me, said Reynolds. Listen, the squirrel's out and about attacking 18 people, biting people's hands. This squirrel's got to go. Another animal story before we move on here. Howie sent me this when he wanted. Howie loves shark stories, and he can't let one slip by. Two surfers in Bodega Bay, California, were recently chased by a shark while surfing along North Salmon Creek Beach, just north of Bodega Bay. The incident took place December 22nd, just a few days before the fatal shark attack that happened off the coast of Central California on Christmas Eve. I didn't hear about that one. Holy crap! We were terrified because it was not backing off, Sebastopol resident Timothy Reck told the newspaper. Says he and another surfer escaped the shark, aggressively pursuing them, but only after it bit onto the leash of one of their surfboards. Experts say violent shark encounters are rare. There have been about 200 shark encounters along the California coast since the 50s. What are we classifying as a shark encounter? They're not calling them shark attacks anymore. They're calling them shark encounters. So, yeah, violent shark encounters. So This is a TV station that's actually adhering to the wokeness of shark attacks. They don't want to call them shark attacks anymore because they say the shark is not attacking. If you're bitten by a shark, I dare say you can go out and say you were attacked by a shark. You survived a shark attack. you didn't survive a violent shark encounter. Oh my God. Are they going to declassify crimes in California? You weren't robbed at gunpoint. You had a violent encounter with an undocumented shopper. Good grief. 844-500-4242. I do want to play a couple of clips for you because these came across my feed over the past few days and just compounded and compounded for me how crazy the public education system is these days. I'm a young father of a young child. He's not 2 years old yet, but he's about a year and a half, getting close to a year and a half. And, you know, I don't want him going to public school. All that we've seen in the past couple of years, the way things have been trending, I mean, it kind of started with new math for me. I wasn't crazy about that. I didn't want to have to learn any new math. But with critical race theory, just the general wokeness of schools altogether, and especially what we've seen over the past few months where we've been seeing reports of teachers going to these teacher conferences, you know, these four-day excursions, you know, everybody's staying in a hotel, the teacher's getting boozed up at the bar at night and, you know, sleeping in to rid themselves of hangovers before attending a 45-minute special speaker around lunchtime, then boozing it up at lunch and starting the whole process over again. We learned at those press conferences that these teachers were indoctrinating children by really pressing upon them to join these LGBTQ plus really guerrilla groups. It was guerrilla warfare with LGBTQ plus goals in mind. They were preying upon children and still are preying upon children and listening for buzzwords. If a child was questioning something, they would encourage them to join this secret lunchtime group that wasn't on the books. They didn't keep any membership rolls. There weren't emails sent out to parents notifying them of membership. And it was, you know why it was done during lunchtime, because, you know, if you kept the kid after school, they'd have to tell their parents why they were staying after school. So you keep them there during lunchtime, and they were actively telling these children not to tell their parents that they were a part of these groups, because they didn't want to freak the parents out, alert them to what was going on, because they knew what they were doing was completely underhanded. And they were trying to coerce these children to change their identities, their pronouns. They wanted them to assume other pronouns and other identities, because who knows why this is so pervasive and why this is a goal to screw with the minds of children. This is sick stuff. So Randy Weingarten, she's the president of the American Federation of Teachers. She was making the rounds today on social media, and she had the gall to say this. This is cut 22, Matt.
And so, you know, whereas the right wing is trying to divide teachers and parents, all of us who care about kids have to bring teachers and parents together. And the reason I say this is the hardest year, even before this, is because think about even all those TikTok challenges that were happening during this year. Think about the triggering, the anxiety, the threats of violence, the emotional and social issues that come up because of isolation. And we're not even getting to the issues of academics. So you have lots of these things.
How disconnected from reality can you get where you're blaming the right for trying to divide teachers and parents? That's not the case at all. We're seeing parents fighting back. One, you mentioned isolation. Well, why were the kids isolated? It was because the teachers didn't want to go back to work. even though there was little to no risk whatsoever of catching this from children, this virus. The teachers didn't want to go back to work. They got used to Zooming in class from home, and it was so much easier. They could do school, they class from their pajamas. It was the height of luxury for them. Two, TikTok. If you're a responsible parent, and I don't like telling people how to parent, because I'm a new parent. I'm not experienced. I don't have years of experience, but I can tell you this. Your kids don't belong on TikTok. And I can tell you something else. Adults don't belong on TikTok either. If you're over the age of 25 and you're making TikToks, and you're not making millions of dollars, which some people are, and that's apparently a source of income, you get off TikTok. It's, let's all grow up here, huh? Your kids don't belong on TikTok. They don't belong on social media. They don't belong on the internet without proper supervision. Hell, I wouldn't let my kid be in front of a TV without me previewing what he's about to watch. It's a sick world with a lot of woke messaging out there, and it's all to indoctrinate and recruit your child. Anxiety, she mentioned, Randy Weingarten. Children having too much anxiety. Well, with all of your fear-mongering, all of this constant messaging of, oh, you need to wear your mask inside the classroom, stay 6 feet away from each other. They're singing songs about washing their hands and telling kids they're going to die if they don't get vaccinated, and that they're going to kill their parents. It's disgusting. I see videos of children that are, their parents are taking them to get the vaccine. The children are dancing because they think they're free of something. Guess what? The children were never in danger to begin with. They just weren't. These are facts. It's disgusting. Wait till you hear. You think those comments from Randy Weingarten are sick and disconnected? Let me tell you, we'll play for you after the break what these teachers are really teaching your children in the classroom, what their goals really are. I've got only two cuts of this, but we can come up with at least two cuts every week of teachers who are trying to indoctrinate your children. It's disgusting. It's filthy. You won't believe it. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is The Howie Carr Show.
Got hate mail?
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
Send it off to Grace at HowieCarrShow.com. He's always been a role model to the Jimmy Olsons in the city room.
This is a dog's life, kid. Keep out of it.
Yeah, but you get around and you see things.
Oh, you see things. I guess you believe all you hear on the radio. Huh?
He's Howie Carr.
I'm not Howie Carr, but Howie Carr will be back on Monday, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. That's just a fact. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Matt, what is the poll question? What are the results thus far?
So do you still stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve? Yes or no?
No, I do not.
78% say no.
Do you, Matt?
I do.
Really?
Yeah. Is I don't know. It's just a tradition.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, Three Stooges marathon is usually on.
I go for the Twilight Zone marathon.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and on New Year's Day, I don't get the channel, but if you know, I think you may be able to get it somewhere. WPIX in New York City, they do a Honeymooners marathon every New Year's Day, so that's always good. And it 39 episodes goes until about 10:30, 11 o'clock the next day, next morning. That's a fun time. All right, so I wanted to play these couple of cuts for you because these are absolutely unbelievable. This is the state. These are the new teachers that are coming into the classrooms. These are the new woke, already indoctrinated teachers. This first one by the way, identifies as a non-binary transgender. Don't ask me. I don't know how it all works. I know I'm the wizard of woke, but sometimes they throw all of these disclaimers together. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but a non-binary transgender teacher of preschool children. Cut 23, Matt.
The main reason for me about why having queer representation and queer educators and queer education in the classroom from a young age is so that these kids will grow up to either be wonderful and accepting allies who have had this normalized in their lives from a young age. If you normalize queerness from a young age, they're more likely to be more accepting and understanding. And if they do not grow up to be good allies, I hope that those kids who later on realize that they are queer will love themselves and are able to express themselves and be proud of who they are. That these kids are able to see people like them in their lives and say, hey, that person's just like me, and it's okay to be me. That is the main reason for me about why this is so important.
That's a preschool teacher. And by the way, are we sure that wasn't Michelle Wu? Sounded almost just like her. That trembling in the voice as you're giving a speech really gives it away. That's a preschool teacher indoctrinating your child because they want them to be, quote unquote, an ally, whatever that means. I'm not sure where we got to this point where we gave teachers the authority to raise our children for us. That's not what school, even preschool, is supposed to be about. That's not it. Shapes, colors, sounds, sights, improving communication skills between other children. That's what preschool is about, preparing them for kindergarten. Children don't need to be learning about sexuality, sexual preferences, gender identity. Teach a child to love, that's all. That's all people ask. That's all that should be asked. We don't have to define what that is. Do we have time for Cut 24, Matt?
So today I came out to my students. Here's a little story. So in my fifth grade classroom, we have a unit where we talk about identity and how people identify. And we talk about traditions and customs that are handed down from ancestors and things like that. So I modeled for the kids today how I identify myself. And in doing so, I told them that I identify as a mom, as a sister and a daughter, as a teacher. I said, and I identify as a cis woman.
And she eventually came out to her classroom as gay. Who cares? I knew nothing of my teachers when I was in school at any point. We'll be back after this.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. By the way, that last clip we played, we didn't play all of it, but we don't need to. It's a fifth grade teacher who decided to come out to her classroom as gay for some reason. I'm not sure why that was appropriate. It just begs the question, why do these teachers feel the need to propagandize, indoctrinate, push themselves and their beliefs and their alliances onto children, no matter what grade they're in? If this were anybody on the right that was saying, you know, I really support your right to the Second Amendment, and when you become of age, you should be you should be buying a gun. And that's a constitutionally supported saying. I mean, there's free speech, yes, but that's a constitutional amendment. That's the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, which, you say what you will, people have the right to it. That's you can't argue that, but it's not appropriate for me to tell a child that they should buy a gun when they're of age. That's not my place. That's a parent's place. If they want to take their child to a gun range. And that's something that's in the Constitution. Why are teachers so keen on sharing this information with their students? When I was in fifth grade or I think I only knew of one gay teacher that I had in high school. And you just knew she didn't make any bones about it. She didn't come out and say it to the classroom, but she spoke of her partner once in a while. And it wasn't just to speak of her partner. She would tell a story and it had a point to it. And her partner happened to be a part of the story. And you know what? She was a fantastic teacher. I loved her. She was funny, engaging, one of the better teachers I had in high school. Really enjoyed her class. But it wasn't a point of hers to make herself a part of the... It wasn't even a part of the lesson for the teachers that we just played. They want that to be the lesson. It's very strange. I knew nothing, next to nothing of my teachers all the way from kindergarten to high school. Didn't want to. If I saw a teacher out in public, it was weird. They have a life. That's strange. I'd run into one of my social studies teachers. I used to take walks on his street, and you know, after we got over the kind of strangeness, and again, he was one of my favorite teachers in high school as well. Seeing each other out of that context, you know, we got friendly and would stop and chat about what I'm doing in my career and what he's doing in his retirement now, and you know, get very friendly. Hope you're doing well, Mr. Rodericks, if you're listening. But it's I never asked when I was in school if they had a life, what they were doing, what their beliefs were. That wasn't in the curriculum. And it shouldn't have been in the curriculum. How people react to society should not be a curriculum. Telling them how to add, subtract, calculus, nature, biology, chemistry, social studies in the context of history, real history, English. God, boy, do we need more English classes in the United States. That's what teachers should be doing. They should not be professing their beliefs and should not be coming out to their children, their school children. It's bizarre that is a normal thing to do. Kim, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Kim. You there, Kim?
Hey, yes.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a long time listener. My radio is always tuned to 680. And I had to call. I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
In response to something you said earlier, probably about 20 minutes ago, with regard to, when we all went remote a year ago, it was a terrible time. I was not in my pajamas. and I was working till 8 o'clock at night, calling families, calling homes. I work in the South Shore at a high school. And kids were in desperate need for reach out, as well as parents who were completely stressed. And
right.
I absolutely, along with my colleagues, it was a very tearful, emotional, and trying time. I do not want that back. We want to be in the classroom. So anybody thinking I'm kicking back and...
So why, Kim, did it take so long for the teachers' unions to get their act together to get back into the classrooms?
Yes, and we want to feel supported and protected. You know, I'm a registered independent. I voted for Trump. I would again, except he, you know, I don't agree with everything that he said and how he did it. Biden is, that was absolutely a taken, in my personal opinion. You know, something happened to America, and I don't want that to happen again. But I will absolutely always stand up for my students with regard to the hard work that they tried to do, but it was a mess. It was an absolute mess, and I am so grateful to be back in the classroom. And with regard with the with what you were just talking about, with regard to, you know, sharing personal information, I agree. My kids, my students should not know how I vote. They should not, I mean, I don't share my personal life.
Right, because that if you were to do that, that there's some sort of an agenda there. There's a want on your end for them to know something about you, and that's an agenda. And you want them to be accepting of that, or if somebody were to call you out on that, that's grounds for some sort of argumentative classroom, and that's, nobody wants that. But that's an agenda that you're bringing to a classroom with you. If you're trying to share some personal information of that nature, there's no call for it. Thanks very much for the call, Kim. I know not every teacher was dragging their feet, but it's a fact that a lot of the unions were withholding going back to school for whatever reason. They claimed safety. We can only speculate. But it was certainly a long uphill fight to get teachers back into the classroom. And COVID, to me and to many others, was not a good enough excuse. There was no risk with the children. Thanks again for the call, Kim. Jeff, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thanks, Taylor. Three quick points. My child definitely had a teacher or two in their pajamas on the Zoom education thing. So that absolutely did happen. I'm sorry to go against the teacher. Not all teachers are bad. Most teachers are awesome.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. But it actually happened. Two, I think they try to, it's easier to be accepted or your lifestyle to get, make someone accept your lifestyle if you're a child and not fully developed yet. So I think that's why these teachers do it. It's none of their business, these kids' business, but they do it because they feel as though they need acceptance, and it's easier with a kid than an adult who can think for themselves.
Right.
Third thing is, why isn't someone coming out and say, why are you talking anything about sex to these 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12-year-olds? It's illegal for them to do it. It's called statutory rape, so this is not, no part of their life.
Oh, but it's not about you know what they would say. It's not about sex. It's about sexuality. It's about individuality. It's about who you really are. Who do you believe yourself to be? What do you feel inside? It's not all about sex. Although it's at that age, that's more confusing than anything else in the world. More confusing than the timetables and long division that they have to do, or the new math that they're trying to learn. That's extremely confusing when you introduce those subjects prematurely.
And there are schools where they do hand out condoms and sexual and reproductive assistance, whatever they call it. So therefore, they are promoting sex with minors or within minors, which is against the law. A minor can't have sex with a minor legally. So this whole thing blows up in their face, and they hate it. That's why they, you know, gavel down these meetings when parents get upset. That's why they walk away. They shut off the Zooms. They do everything because they don't want to hear it, because they know we can think for themselves, and they hate it. And that's why they hide these things at lunch times and not after school. They just don't. They probably don't even like their own lives, these teachers that are doing this. It's disgusting. Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call, Jeff. We'll take a short break. We'll do a short Week in Woke on the other side, as it is Thursday. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
When Howie's on, every radio is a magic radio.
The Howie Carr Show now presents The Week in Woke.
Do you tire of remembering which pronouns to use? Do you find yourself trying to remember the correct acronym when addressing social issues? Are you struggling to find new and exciting ways to reduce your carbon footprint? Well, fear not, friends. The Week in Woke is here to help.
in Washington State. Lawmakers in Washington State introduced a bill this month that would reduce penalties for drive-by shootings with the aim of promoting racial equity. The bill, introduced by Democratic Representatives Tara Simmons and David Hackney, ahead of the state's 2022 legislative session, would eliminate drive-by shootings as the basis for elevating a first-degree murder charge to aggravated murder in the first degree, which carries a mandatory life sentence. Other aggravating factors include the murder of law enforcement officers, murders committed by inmates while they're behind bars, and murder for hire schemes. The aggravating factor that the bill would eliminate reads the murder was committed during the course of or as a result of a shooting where the discharge of a firearm is either from a motor vehicle or from the immediate area of a motor vehicle that was used to transport the shooter or the firearm. Representative Simmons, who represents a district in western Washington, argued that it's clear that it was targeted at gangs that were predominantly young and black. I mean, if that's her reasoning for filing this legislation, shouldn't you also include in that omission of the aggravating factors that you don't want stepped up to first degree, from first degree to aggravated murder? One of them should be that killing another inmate while they're behind bars. I mean, most inmates, as so such groups claim, are firstly wrongly imprisoned and secondly of some sort of minority. Brooklyn Museum adds slavery disclaimer to George Washington portrait. This is the Brooklyn Museum. It's added a new feature to its 1776 oil on canvas painting of Continental Army General George Washington, a description card that notes his ownership of slaves despite defending the self-evident truth that all men are created equal. The portrait shows Washington standing in military dress uniform with Boston in the far background, painted by Charles Wilson Peel and commissioned by Continental Congress President John Hancock just before he famously signed the Declaration of Independence. The new description card focuses on the tension between the existence of slavery and the Declaration's affirmation of freedom and equality that it is absent from Peel's celebrated portrait. There are no slaves in the portrait. Why would you have any context about slavery and George Washington when it didn't need it? The IRS says income from illegal activities, stolen property, must be reported on taxes. If you stole something this year, well, Buster, you damn well better report it on your 1040EZ. Ahead of the fast-approaching tax season, the Internal Revenue Service has published information on preparing 2021 tax returns, including information stating that money received from illicit activities must be reported on taxes. I see a lot of people out in California that have a lot to answer for if they don't submit their 1040 EZs with all of these stolen items. The IRS states that income received from illegal activities like drug dealing must be included in your income on Schedule 1. That's Form 1040, Line 8Z. So they actually do have an area where you can put this down. Or on Schedule C of your 1040, if from your self-employment activity. Oh, my God. If you steal property, you must report its fair market value in your income in the year you steal it, unless you return it to its rightful owner in the same year. So if you get your use out of it and you return it, you don't have to claim it on your taxes. That is good to know. Pedophile advocacy group explains how to go about age play. This is an interesting story. The Prostasia Foundation says one of the most popular search terms that drives people to their website is the query, is age play wrong? What is age play? Age play is where someone pretends to be a child or baby in sexual activities as degeneracy. So imagine those fetishes where people dress up like babies and they ask to get spanked and stuff like that. It's weird stuff. People have their hang-ups and their kinks, I guess, but it's strange. And it gets stranger because they are telling people, well, you must make sure that the person you're interacting with is not underage, because that can quickly become a spot of trouble for you. In answer to the question, Pedophile Rights Advocacy Group dedicated a blog post with tips and tricks to optimize the practice of age play. This is a quote, although it may be tempting to launch into an online age play scene while the energy is hot, it's important to begin the scene by having the underage, in quotation mark, partner confirm their real age. As such, they are a form of BDSM that is strictly for adults only. Weird, weird times. Last but not least, NPR music critic Ann Power says the Beatles are racist in their from their documentary Get Back. Powers wrote, as they became rock's norm, they allowed white fans to enjoy what the late great music writer Greg Tate identified as a pasteurized form of black culture. They allowed white fans to eat a Velveeta cheese version of black music. Because they took some music and put their own sound to it. They're racist. Okay. That's it. Happy New Year. No hugging and kissing. Dr. Fauci won't allow it.